Hey, welcome to the Foundry Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to hear future messages. We hope you're blessed and encouraged by this message today.
All right, good morning. I feel like I should introduce myself. My name's Tim, and I'm your pastor, one of them anyway. I have been out once for a back injury, and then last week for a birthday. The birthday was way more fun than the back injury. So many of you have asked, my back's doing better. Thank you very much for the prayers, and it was great. I have a grandson who's now 7 years old. Time flies when you're having fun, so they're a blessing. It was great. If you were not here last week, be sure and go online. Jeff Hutchin gave a great, great message. Such a good job. What a blessing that was. So we're going to pick back up on this series. We're cramming a four-week series into 6 weeks. So there's this week, and then next week we'll finish up with a series, and then we're going to begin a series through kind of the 1 and 2 Samuel, the life of David. So the material that we're reading right now that I trust you are enjoying, it's really, really great stories. We're going to spend time going through that on Sunday morning. So, but for this morning, we're going to look at the kind of the third quality or value that we see in the early church. We're looking at the early church as kind of a blueprint for what a healthy church looks like. And we talked in message one about right leadership, and then message two was radical servanthood. That's where we really focus in on the deacons, how that was, you had elders and then you had deacons, and deacons played a primary role in the early church. And so we're bringing deacons back to Foundry, and we began inviting the congregation to nominate men and women for the role of deacon and deaconess. So if you've got somebody in mind, really this Sunday is your last day to nominate someone or to nominate yourself. Our elders are going to be meeting tomorrow night, and we'll begin kind of prayerfully processing all of those who've been nominated, and then hopefully by the end of February, we'll be able to announce our deacon team. And so that's exciting. So this week, this morning, we're going to look at, you know, I rarely do like, I mean, sometimes I'll mention a Greek word, but never is it the title of a message. But this message is just simply titled Koinonia, which is a Greek word, and it's the concept that we're going to focus on this morning. The reason that I'm using the word is because in order to explain koinonia, you have to use about 3 or 4 English words to get at it. It's one of these rich words that has a lot of meaning that you miss. So often it's just translated fellowship, but that's not all it is. And by the way, what is fellowship? Usually the only way that we use fellowship is at church. We're having a church fellowship. There's a ladies' fellowship. We fellowship out in the lobby with one another, but it's not a word that we use a lot, but it's what we're going to see in our passage this morning. But there's a lot more to it than just conversation over coffee. So let's read our passage. This is in Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 42 through verse 47. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, there's our word koinonia, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. There's another way the word is used. In this case, it's the word koinos. It's the same root word, though, as koinonia, this idea of having something in common. So all the believers were together, and they had everything in common. Now, as we read the next paragraph, notice how that koinonia just like it just begins to define this early church. More expressions of it. So it says in verse 45, they sold property and possessions, and they gave to anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in homes, in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So all that I have underlined there are expressions of this word koinonia, having things in common, being together, sharing meals in one another's homes, meeting together for worship in the temple courts, realizing that some people in the church had needs and they were so concerned about meeting one another's needs that they would literally sell property or sell, you know, possessions to help sell it so that there would be money freed up so they could help each other. These are all expressions of koinonia. And then it says like they enjoyed the favor of one another. So they actually enjoyed being together. What a novel concept. Enjoying the people you go to church with. So they enjoyed it. And there was this sense of awe. There was this sense that God was moving. We said at the beginning, when you read this passage, this kind of portrait of the early church, I think every one of us would look and go, now that's the kind of church I want to be a part of. Like that would really be neat to be a part of a church like that, where you could just sense the community, the love for one another, and the love for God, and we're on mission together, and God is moving. And it says, the last thing it says, the Lord was adding to their number daily those who were being saved. And it's kind of like, well, no wonder people were wanting to join this church, this early church, because it was such a transformational community. It just drew people in and people's lives were changed. And so that's what we're after. We're kind of using the idea of a blueprint. We're in the process of soon to be breaking ground on our literal building project. But as we know, the building that we're going to have on the land that we own, that's just a tool. We're the church. The people are the church. And we want this last full year in this school to be our best year ever. We want to lean into it and say, how can we be just a church where all of the dynamics that we're looking at here in this early church are present with us in a growing way? So this word koinonia is a Greek word, as I mentioned, and it appears 20 times in our Bible. And its primary meaning is fellowship or sharing in common. There's the word communion. There's the word participation, sharing, those kind of ideas. The first occurrence is in the passage that we just read in Acts 2, where it says that they devoted themselves to the fellowship. And in that case, it's used as sort of a noun, not a verb. They're fellowshipping, but the fellowship, the community. So we're going to look at three concepts that help us understand koinonia. And then we're going to talk about some practical ways that maybe all of us here can experience it in a real deep and meaningful way. So here's the first concept, or the first English word that we would use, and it is the word communion. Now, we use communion a lot of times to talk about the Lord's Supper, but even there, to understand what communion is, we have to understand at a deeper level, well, what is it when we take the bread, which symbolizes his body, and the wine or the juice that symbolizes his blood? Why is that called communion? We'll talk about that in a second. But the idea behind communion is, as Christians, our communion with God is the basis for our communion or our fellowship or our friendship with each other. So the relationship that each of us individually have with God is the basis for our relationship with one another. If you think about like your friend group, you are friends with people, and there's something in common that you all have that makes you kind of a group of friends. So maybe you've got a group of friends and you went to college with them and you guys have stayed in touch. And you'd say, well, what is the basis of our friendship? Well, we all were dormed together. We all were in a dorm together our freshman year of college. We all went to the same school and you have this common shared experience. So that's like the basis of your friendship. Had you not gone to that school, you wouldn't even have those friends. You have some friends right now that you are friends with them because you live near one another. Like you've actually gotten to know your neighbors. You would be among an elite few that actually know your neighbors. But the basis of your friendship would be like, well, we live on the same street. Or maybe you have friends from work and you work together, and so that's the basis. Well, koinonia, the basis of koinonia, of friendship and fellowship in the church, is the fact that we share in the common faith, a common spirit. The Bible says when you trust Christ, God gives his spirit who dwells in you. So we all have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. It is our communion with God then that is the basis for our communion with each other. And there's several verses that we could look at that gets at this. When we look at this early church, notice that koinonia was experienced, it says, by those who accepted the message of the gospel. Where do I get that? Well, verse 42 is where it says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. If we look up one verse, we see the end of a section of scripture where Peter preached a message, and the Bible says that in verse 41, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 of them were added to that to their number that day. So this is the famous message following Pentecost where Peter preached, and literally 3,000 people are saved. And it says then they devoted themselves. Who is the they? Well, the they is those who accepted the message. In other words, these are believers who believed the message of the gospel, were baptized, and were filled with the Spirit. So that's the common connection. So if you're a Christian, if you've received the Spirit of God, automatically, even if we don't know each other and if we don't have anything else in common, there is a common bond that we have in Christ because of our faith that we'll talk about is extremely important and deep. So 1 Corinthians 10, we see the word communion used, and it's the word koinonia. So 1 Corinthians 10, Paul speaking about the Lord's Supper or communion, and he says, the cup of blessing which we bless is not the communion, that's the word koinonia, of the blood, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. So, see, there's the communion or the koinonia that is expressed in the Lord's Supper. And Paul says, we're all partaking of one body, of one blood. That makes us one people. And there's this deep connection that we have that is expressed in this word, koinonia. In 1 John 1:3, he also makes the same connection. He says, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you may have fellowship, koinonia, with us. And our fellowship, koinonia, is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So he's saying, hey, we've told you the gospel. We've explained to you the message, what we saw, what we heard, what we touched. John was an eyewitness to Jesus. He was Jesus' probably closest friend. And he's saying, this is what we're communicating to you because we want you to have fellowship with us. But ultimately, the way that we have fellowship with each other is we have fellowship or koinonia with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. In Philippians 2, Paul makes the same appeal. So Paul is going to write to Philippians and he's trying to get them to really love each other. He's trying to get them to have a close fellowship, a close community. And look how he starts this. He says in chapter 2, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, are you encouraged by being united with Christ? Your relationship with God the Father is no longer broken. You now have a way to God the Father through Jesus. Does that encourage you? If you understand what it is, of course it encourages you. If there's any encouragement from being united with Christ, if there's any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. We'll talk about the practical outflow of this, but do you see how Paul uses, he's like, listen, if you're a Christian, think about what you have. You have unity with God the Father now through Jesus. You have encouragement. You have forgiveness of sins. You have joy that comes to all. If that's true, then now Paul's like their spiritual father. He's like, complete my joy by being then like-minded. He's like, look, you're united with God, the Father. Now, as brothers and sisters in Christ, be united with each other. So the basis of koinonia is a relationship with God the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ, and receiving the Holy Spirit. So Koine Greek, you might have heard that term, Koine Greek. Our New Testament, the original language that it was written in, it's called Koine Greek. That word koine is our word, koinonia or koinos. It's common. And what happened when Alexander the Great conquered that whole area, there were all these like Greek city-states, and they all had different sort of dialects. And so one of the ways that he unified the empire is they developed a common language. It's really hard to have community and unity if you're speaking a completely different language. And so Koine Greek became the shared language, the common language that brought the whole empire together. And so when you come to a church and you say, what brings a church together? What brings a church where there's a sense of deep community? Well, it's where we're speaking the same language, meaning I have the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is directing me. The Spirit of God is directing you. We're all trying to walk in the Spirit as sons and daughters of the Most High, and we're a family. And so even though we might not have a lot in common, maybe, maybe not, but that's not the basis of our friendship and our fellowship. The basis of our friendship and fellowship isn't that we live on the same street or that we work together or that we like the same sports teams or that we have the same personality. Those are all fine, but ultimately the basis is the relationship that we have with the Father. So 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says this, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. There we have the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, fellowship in them. May this be the thing that connects us all together. So our common bond in Christ, here's a great point. Our common bond in Christ then is deeper than our differences. Our common bond in Christ is deeper than whatever differences we have. And Paul, in Colossians 3, he makes this point. Look what he says. So he's giving some practical stuff. He says, do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. Here, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. So Paul's like, listen, and he's going to go on. We're going to look at the rest of what he wrote. He's going to talk about how they can really love each other in a really great, healthy community. But he's getting at the basis. He's like, listen, there's a lot of differences. There are Jews and Gentiles, slave and free, barbarian, Scythian, he's like, there's a lot of things that make us different. But he goes, those are now irrelevant because Christ is in us. And he is in all, and he is in all of us. And so there's this common connection we have. So he goes, here in Christ, that's not what defines us. What defines us is our relationship with God the Father. So real important, the basis of our relation, the basis of Koinonia at Foundry is you know Jesus, and you know Jesus, and you know Jesus, and you know Jesus, and you have the Spirit of God in you, and you have the Holy Spirit in you, and we are a community that we have a communion with God the Father, and that's the basis, and it's real important because we've got differences, but our bond in Christ is greater than all those differences. Okay, so that's number one, is communion. Koinonia is communion. Secondly, it's community. So our common bond in Christ then calls us to be devoted to one another in a loving community. Because we have this common bond, we're called to now be in a loving community. So let's go back and look at a couple of these verses again and look at them slightly differently. So in the Philippians verse, Philippians 2, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, make my joy complete by being like-minded. So now Paul is going to say, you have the basis of you're all Christians. Now you need to actually live that out in community. And in order to do that, there's a bunch of decisions that we all are going to make, empowered by the Spirit, but nonetheless, he calls us to live this way. So he goes, be like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of mind. Don't do anything out of selfish ambition. Don't allow your flesh to direct you. That's going to mess the community up. You got to allow the Spirit of God to lead you, and don't be motivated by selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, consider others better than yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but to the interest of others. So then now we're like, okay, now this is really going to set us apart as a community, because a lot of communities can be very selfishly oriented. And so now we're told, like right from the beginning, you've got this common bond, but as you come together, you've got to live an unselfish life. You got to look to others. You got to look to others' needs. And so that begins to really shape what the community is like. And what we see through the scriptures, we're really created for this kind of koinonia. I came across a quote, and I thought it was really good. I don't know who it's from, but it says this: our society tends to prioritize individualism and self-sufficiency, often leaving people isolated. But God's design for us is different. He created us to thrive in community, to participate in each other's lives, and to support one another through all of life's seasons. In koinonia, we reflect the love of Christ to one another, becoming a powerful witness to the world longing for real connection. You know, there's studies that show, I mean, there's tons of them now. This isn't like, well, maybe this is true and maybe it's not. No, it's true. And that is that the more time you spend on social media, the more you will wrestle with depression and feelings of loneliness and isolation. The more you scroll, looking at everybody else's life and all of their highlights and all their posts and all this stuff, the more, because it doesn't provide you community and connection. You're just like a spectator looking. And yet you're longing for something, but it's not found in that. But it has a way of isolating us even more, and you can start doom scrolling, and it's just like, it only makes things worse. Why is that? It's because we were created for actual real community, where we're face to face, we're serving together, we're eating together, we're doing life together, we're praying together. We actually have real relationships, not virtual relationships, real relationships with each other. And that's one of the primary purposes of the church, is to provide a place where you can have real friendships, like a real place of belonging. It's not going to be perfect. And what we're going to talk about here, there has to be forgiveness along the way, because you will be hurt by the very people that are supposed to be providing this loving community for you, because we're all flawed and we're all going to offend one another at some point, or say the wrong thing, or hurt it, and that's where it has to be marked by forgiveness. But the point here is that, man, this is what we're created for. Like, we need this. And what the enemy will always seek to do is to isolate all of us, to keep us at home, and to give us 1,000 reasons why we're not going to go to group. I don't feel like talking to people. You probably need to talk to people. Or I'm not gonna. I know I got invited to lunch, and it gets there, and I'm just gonna cancel. And you'll just find yourself isolating, and the enemy will tell you and lie to you all the reasons why you should just stick to yourself. And meanwhile, you're longing, and it's because God created us for that. So, now I said the common bond in Christ is deeper than our differences. But the reality is there's still differences, isn't there? It's not automatic. Just because we are all Christians and love Jesus, it doesn't become automatic. There has to, because we do have real differences. And so what do we do about those? How can we actually have this kind of this kind of friendship and relationship if we have differences? Well, let's go back to Paul's instructions to the Colossians, and let's just read through this. So much. We don't have time to get into all this nitty-gritty, but I just want you to get the feel of it. Colossians 3, don't lie to each other since you've taken off your old self and its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. So here in Christ, there's no Jew, there's no Gentile, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, in Christ, but Christ is all and is in all. Now, look at how practical it gets. Therefore, what's the therefore? Because of what he just said. You're in Christ, and because of that, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through the psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. There's a lot of rich koinonia that only will happen in your life when you are willing to forgive an offense. Because it's only a matter of time when you get close to people that you get hurt. And here's what happens. You get hurt, and then you decide, well, forget that. I'll just attend. I'll go. I'll leave. Or I'll just find a new church. And so a lot of times, where there's been hurt from relationships, it causes people, in at least in Western Christianity, where I can go to a church down there, we just leave and go to a different church. And the problem is, the same thing's going to happen there because there's flawed people there at that church, just like there's flawed people at this church. There's flawed people at every church. And if there is a perfect church, don't go because you'll ruin it. That's the joke. So we got to learn to forgive each other, and this is koinonia. Koinonia is, man, that dude gets on my last nerve. Lord, give me patience because he's a brother in Christ, and I want to love him. Or, boy, she really hurt me when she said that. And I feel an offense growing. And yet koinonia calls me to say, that's a sister in Christ. I'm going to forgive, and I'm going to love, and I'm going to keep pressing in however many times. It's just that's the only way koinonia happens, through a community of people that love each other enough to live vulnerably and live honestly and authentically and forgive and bear with one another and be kind to one another and have compassion and care for one another. You know, a great study on what koinonia looks like is the one another study in the Bible. You can look up all the places where it says one another. And let me just give you a quick sampling. The Bible says that we're to be devoted to one another. It says that we're to honor one another in Romans 12. It says we're to live in harmony with one another. We're to accept one another. We're to serve one another in love. We're to be kind and compassionate to one another. We're to admonish one another. We're to encourage one another. We're to spur one another on toward love and good deeds. We're to offer hospitality to one another. We're to love one another. Man, the Christian life without koinonia is not the Christian life. The Christian life without community and connection, without relationships with each other, like real relationships that aren't just in the lobby before and after church, but actually there's connections through the week. This is where we're really the church. This is where community really happens. And we see in that early church, they were so involved in each other's lives that they knew about the needs that each other had. And they were, as we said, selling property to meet those needs. And so there's communion with God. And because we have communion with God, we have communion with each other. which calls us into a community where we love each other, forgive each other, bear with one another, show kindness to one another. It's like living life together. Okay, so here's the third one, and that is commission. So this idea of koinonia has an idea of commission to it, or co-mission. So as a community of Christ followers, we have received a commission to spread the gospel. We do not exist for friendship alone. We are partners in the mission God has given us. This is so important. Because there are a lot of churches that they are heavy, heavy on fellowship, on community, on caring for one another, and love each other. And it's a really close fellowship. And what happens is if you have this commission piece missing, it becomes about us four and no more. It's like, I'm not inviting people. I've got my community. And it can really become an almost selfish pursuit where our relational needs are being met, but there's no real mission into a lost and hurting world that needs communion with Jesus and needs some Christian friends. And so this mission part is so, so important. This isn't just about fellowship and community. It's about, man, we are locking arms together. We're a team. We're a unit. We're a force to be reckoned with. We're locking arms and working on this together. We see this expressed in a number of places. Philippians 1, Paul uses the word. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership. Anybody want to guess what that word partnership is? Koinonia. Because of your koinonia in the gospel from the first day until now. There's a sharing. There is a partnership. Paul viewed the Philippians as his partners in ministry. They prayed for him. They financially supported him. They were with him. And so he's like, you're partners in the gospel. 2 Corinthians 9, we see an expression of it. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanied your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing koinonia with them and with everyone else. So Paul is speaking to the Corinthians. There was a famine in Jerusalem. He had been collecting money to try to help the church in Jerusalem, and the Corinthians had been giving to that. And so Paul's talking about their partnership in sharing with them. That also is an expression of the gospel. Like this is like churches locking arms to do missions or to do benevolence work among other people that really, really have needs. It's where we pool our resources to and partner together to make a difference in our world. And again, we see this in Acts, selling property to anyone to help those who had needs. So there's a locking arms. And at Foundry, we want to work on all three of these. We want to be a church where we're seeing people come into communion with God the Father through responding to the gospel. And then they get the arms of Foundry wrapped around them in love and are enveloped into a community that genuinely cares. A community that isn't perfect, but that is genuinely trying to show kindness and compassion and friendship and sharing and all of these things. And then it's also, but it doesn't end there. It's like, hey, come on mission with us now. And it's a church that's moving to take the gospel to the nations and to our community to meet real needs. And this is where a lot of fellowship takes place, is as we kind of lock arms and serve together. Think about maybe some of the best friends that you had growing up. I bet you, for those of you who are involved in sports, it goes back to a sports team. And you suffered together doing your conditioning, and you worked together, and you were, co-laborers, so to speak, in that sport, working together, and you suffered together, and you worked hard together. There's a connection that happens when you're on mission with other people. So koinonia for Luke, then, is the common Christian life recognized in belief and in practice. Fellowship cannot be reduced to, as one writer suggests, idle chit-chat over a steaming coffee before or after worship service. Fellowship, on the contrary, is gathering around what we believe and then living it out, living out that belief for the world to see. So let me very quickly give us five ways where you can, practical things that you can do to experience koinonia. Number one is to start with a heart of openness. You got to have a heart of openness. And maybe your heart has been closed because of past hurts or whatever reason might be there. But maybe you come to church, you're in, you're out, you haven't gotten involved in any other capacity. The first part is there's got to be a heart level to be like, I should be open to relationships. True koinonia begins with a willingness to be vulnerable. That might mean sharing not only victories, but our struggles and weaknesses, creating a community where others feel safe to do the same in a foundational step. And so it's like real community. We're not just faking it till we make it. We're not acting like we got it together. There's just a real, authentic openness. Number two is to seek out opportunities to participate. This might mean joining a small group, volunteering, or simply showing up when others need support. The early church in Acts set an example of this by meeting together daily and sharing everything they had. Koinonia flourishes when we go beyond convenience and step into commitment. Wouldn't it be great if Foundry had a ministry that would encourage people to get together in each other's homes and have meals? Let's call it Connect 3. That's the whole idea behind this. And I think right now we have about 21 households signed up. And so I just want to press you a little bit. If you haven't yet signed up and you'd be like, well, I don't know. What if kids come and destroy my house? Are they going to have kids? I don't know. You'll work that out. You'll work that out with them somehow. Whatever it is that is a question mark in your mind that makes you really uncomfortable, I just want to encourage you. Lean into it. You've been provided about as easy as a forum as possible. You don't have to go ask somebody. All you got to do is sign up and then just trust the Lord to group you with two other households that He wants you to meet, and you may sit down at the first meal and go, "Oh my gosh, what have I done? Who is this? And why are we having dinner? We have nothing in common." Well, they have communion with God the Father and the Son, and so you can have communion with them. It's a chance to connect. So I just want to encourage you. It's got to go beyond convenience to a commitment. To see this happen. Koinonia does not happen on accident. It's not going to happen unless you say, I'm going to get outside my comfort zone. I'm going to participate in some way, in a group, at a meal, at a ministry. And there's no other way koinonia, community, is going to happen until you're willing to step into commitment. Here's number three. Prioritize reconciliation and forgiveness. Koinonia can't survive without grace. We have to be gracious with each other, you guys. Koinonia cannot survive without grace. Differences and disagreements will inevitably arise in any community, but when Jesus is at the center, we find the strength to work through them, and that is a witness to the world. Jesus says, "By this will all men know that you are my disciples, by your love for one another." It's what sets us apart. Number four is to center relationships around Jesus. Perhaps the most important element of koinonia is that Jesus is the reason and the foundation for our relationships. That was point number one. When we fix our eyes on Him, we find ourselves growing closer to each other. So He's the center focus, always. And this is the cool thing about our discipleship groups, because our discipleship groups are not primarily about fellowship. They're primarily about reading God's word, studying it, coming together and sharing insights and perspectives about God's word. And then what happens while we're making Jesus and his word the focus is community. Community happens. The final one is to embrace diversity. That sounds maybe like some kind of woke weirdness, but it's not. The Bible teaches us to love each other in spite of our differences long before the word diversity became a word in our common vernacular. Koinonia calls us to embrace people from every background, generation, and story. This diversity can be challenging, but it's also where true community becomes transformational. In Christ, we're able to build unity that transcends the world's divisions. You just never know somebody that you're going to connect with in a deep friendship. And you, on the surface, you're like so different from them. But what happens is you're having a meal and you find something that you do maybe have in common, or there's just some personality connection. You just don't know. You're not going to be best friends with everybody at Foundry and everybody that you have a meal with. You're not going to be like, wow, they're our best friends. But it's going to at least open the door for deeper relationships, and it's going to give all of us a chance to show the grace of Jesus to one another, despite differences and because of our common connection in Jesus. So the blueprint for Foundry is Koinonia. Man, may God help us to be a church where there's authentic, real, loving community, where people aren't isolated, where nobody's going to be lonely because nobody reaches out to them. Let's be a church where we go the extra mile to reach out and find people that need a friend and be a good friend, and may this be a sweet fellowship. With that, let's pray. The band's going to come up and we'll be done. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you have saved us by your grace. You have forgiven us of our sins when we put our faith in you, Jesus. And we get to have communion with you. We get to have a restored relationship with you. Thank you for that. And Lord, I thank you that then you call us into relationship with one another, where we get to experience Koinonia. And Lord, I pray that by your grace, as a church, we would experience and express Koinonia in deeper and deeper ways. Lord, that when people come to Foundry, they would just sense a sweet spirit of love, of fellowship, of community, of sharing, of forgiving, of showing kindness, encouraging one another, all the one another's, Lord. May you grow us as a church in all these areas. And Lord, may it be a testimony to the world. May Foundry be a place where the lonely can find a family. And if you're here this morning and you're like, man, you're talking about something that I have never known, and I certainly don't know it now. And yeah, I do feel kind of lonely. I just want to invite you to lean in and press in to all the things that we've talked about. And allow God to work through this church as a group of very imperfect people, but that we have a common connection in Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray that you would do a great work in this church and grow us in this area. I pray that Connect 3, this ministry, Lord, would be really used of you to forge relationships and friendships, and Lord, that
real fellowship and authentic sharing, all the things that we've talked about, Lord, that this would be something that would help facilitate that. And if you're here this morning and you don't know communion with God, man, that's the first step. And so as we close, I just want to give you an opportunity. Communion with God happens when we put our faith and trust in Him, and when we repent of our sins and ask Him to come in and save us, because our sin is what breaks a relationship with God. And so if you're here and you're like, that's the starting point, and it is a simple, authentic prayer way. It is to confess, Jesus, I know I am a sinner, and there's a lot I don't know, but I do believe in You. And so right now, I desire to have a relationship with You. Forgive me of my sin. And enter into my life and give me Your Spirit. I ask You to save me, and I put my faith and trust in You in this very moment, in this very place. Man, if that's you this morning, literally, you cross over from death to life and you have communion with God the Father through His Son, Jesus. And if you'd like to talk more about that, I'll be at the front as we sing this last song. I'd love to talk to you more then or after the service. Thank You, Jesus, for this early church that is a great model for us. May this become more and more true of Foundry, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. And if you did, make sure to share it and subscribe so that we can get you all of these new messages as soon as they're available. I also want to take a moment and thank all of you who are a part of Foundry. Whether you support us financially or serve with us or just share these messages, it's because of you that we're able to make a difference. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.